Welcome to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show, which will, starting next Monday, be the Total Wealth Academy radio show. We finally got a hold of TotalWealthAcademy.com, which is what we wanted originally, but someone else owned it and was unresponsive. But anyway, we now own TotalWealthAcademy.com, so we'll be changing the name of the show to Total Wealth Academy radio show starting next Monday. If you're not familiar with Total Wealth Academy, we are an educational and mentoring program for real estate investors. People who want to learn how to build a second stream of income with real estate come to us. Everybody from people who have never even thought about owning rent property before, all the way to people who own 5,000 apartment units already, come and join our group. And what we do is we take people by the hand, step by step, through the investing process, be it single family homes or passively investing in apartments, self-storage, RV parks, mobile home parks, strip shopping centers, commercial buildings, whatever. The goal of our members is to produce a second stream of income that meets and exceeds all their wants and needs. It might be 10 grand a month. It could be 20 grand a month. It could be 80 grand a month like I did. It's up to you what you want and need. But I give kind of a warning that this is the only business model that seems to be working in the United States. The people, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, and I never understood, I thought it was a very crude, rude comment. He would say savers are losers. He doesn't mean they're losers. He means they're going to lose the game. You can be a wonderful person, but if you're trying to save your way to retirement, it's just not effective anymore. You've got to produce a second stream of income that comes in every month for the rest of your life if you're going to succeed. Warren Buffett said this 45 years ago. And sadly, that information didn't get out. Everybody should know this. And it comes down to the principle that if you save up X amount of dollars and retire, what are you praying? You're praying that you die before you run out of money. That's not a good way to live. What you want to do is buy income-producing assets. It's just like the game of Monopoly, identical. You buy income-producing assets that produce cash flow. And that cash flow comes in whether you live 10 years in retirement, 20, 50 years in retirement. It doesn't matter. It just keeps coming in. So that's what our students are doing at Total Wealth Academy. I want to build on yesterday's show. I have never done this before, I don't think, but if you did not hear yesterday's show, I had a very special guest on, Frank McKinney, and Frank is like, I don't know how to describe him. He's unique. His perspectives are unique. Let me rephrase that. The way he expresses the ideas that you and I discuss on a daily basis are unique. They're totally different from the way that I say it. And I believe strongly that you should listen to multiple mentors. Some of you will do it and go, oh, they all say the same thing. And it's true. But they may say it a slightly different way. using words that are different, words that you understand, that maybe I said it one way and you went, what's Steve's crazy? What do you even mean by that? Whereas if you heard Frank say it, he'd saying the same thing but with different words, and you go, oh, I get it. That's why I read so many different books on the same subject, because one person's communication style got through to me more effectively than maybe the other three or four or whatever the circumstance was. But I want to build on yesterday's show, because I realize there's a flaw in the way that I teach balance. When I talk about balance, the way that I said it, it appeared that you're supposed to be balanced at all times. And went back, read a couple of documents I wrote, and I went, absolutely, that is exactly what I was saying. Nothing could be further from the truth. And Frank brought it up yesterday, very politely. He goes, Steve, I have a little disagreement about your point about balance. I think that sometimes you get way, way off balance, and it's okay. And you have to understand that he was not contradicting me. He was contradicting the way I said it, because I was giving the way that I said it, it almost came across like you're supposed to be balanced all the time. So in my Saturday class, I correct that, but you're not getting it if you're only listening to the radio show. So I want to do it today on the radio. And what it comes down to is you don't have to visit all eight parts of your life every single day, or even every week, or even every month. Shoot, you might go 6 months and not spend any time on one of the parts of your balanced life. That doesn't mean you're not balanced. It just means at that particular time, you're focused on something else. Let me give you an example. Let's say that your relationship on a scale of 1 to 10 with your son is a 2. Your relationship with your spouse is a 10. It's perfect. You're at work, it's an 8 or a 9. Your recreation is an 8 or 9. Your romance is a 10. Everything else is a 10, but working your relationship with your son is a 2. Does it make sense that you should get unbalanced for a while and go focus on that relationship with your son? Maybe let your relationship with your wife come down to an 8. And it might take, you know, depositing into the emotional bank account of your son might take, like I said, 6 months to rebuild that relationship and cultivate it. All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. I'm really excited about this material because it clarifies some questions that I got by email that I didn't really understand, but now I do. Okay, this is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show, soon to be the TotalWealthAcademy.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. We'll talk more after the break here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Hi, I'm Steve Davis of Total Wealth Academy. Many people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $50,000 or more in investable assets, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free 90-minute sample class, live or online. Visit GetTotalWealth.com and click the free sample class button. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. This is the Total Wealth Academy radio show, or soon to be, starting next Monday. we're talking about balance and how even when you are balanced and you are spending time in all eight of the basic arenas of life, that sometimes it seems like you're unbalanced because you're spending 6 months on a charity project or 6 months rebuilding your relationship with your son. Or, and I think the most common that I see people get unbalanced in is money. And it comes down to, I think that people are waking up and they're going, look, I'm 45. I'm not in the financial position I want to be in. I got to do something different. And they get unbalanced. But that's a good thing. Because they begin reading, studying, attending seminars. Then they begin buying their first piece of real estate. And it takes time. Time away from romance, time away from the kids, time away from work in some cases. Rare, but some. It's, you're going to get a little bit unbalanced. And I think part of it is because in the beginning stages of learning real estate investing, you're nervous. Okay, you've taken your class, you have the material, you know what to do, but there's a big leap from knowing what to do and actually doing it and getting the experience of doing it. And I think that the people are, the members who are truly focused on building that second stream of income do get unbalanced for a while. But then the time comes to draw back and get back balanced in the other arenas. So Frank really helped me a lot. I hope he helped you too. Again, I said, I don't think I've ever done this before, tell you to go listen to a previous show. But if you missed that show yesterday, it is worthwhile to go to TotalWealthAcademy.com and go to the podcast and listen to that show. I guarantee you'll feel great when you finish listening to it. That guy is amazing. And I'm really fortunate to have met him, you know, through the radio show. Just a great guy. And what was the other one? It was balance. Doggone it. There was one other point that he brought up that was just phenomenal. Oh, I know what it was. It's understanding motivation, inspiration, and aspiration. That helped me tremendously because I'm a big, how do I put it? Yeah, let me just say it simply. I'm a big motivation guy. There's much more to it than that, but I thrive on motivational material. So I stay motivated, but it's because I'm reading that material on a daily basis. And what Frank brought up, Zig Ziglar brought it up too, is that motivation works, but it only lasts about a day. And if you want more of it, you've got to get motivated again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's a process. And I got nothing against it. Obviously, I love it. I thrive on reading those books every day and waking up with them, listening to them in the car, and that keeps me centered and motivated. But as Zig Ziglar said, and Frank, it's like bathing. You got to do it every day. It only lasts about a day. Then the inspiration, which is better, is more effective than simple motivation. If someone inspires you or an event inspires you, Frank brought up that, you know, that last couple weeks, maybe a month, and then it disappears. So you got to constantly be re-inspiring yourself. Now, that's not hard to do at all. I don't know if you do this or not, but if you go to YouTube and just type in speech on building wealth, you will get thousands of videos on it. And I'm talking highly inspirational videos. Type in motivation. Thousands of videos on motivation. Type in learning to take risks. Thousands of videos on how to make yourself, get yourself to take risks. But there's something above that that Frank brought up, and it's the name of his book, Aspire. Your aspirations, that lasts a lifetime. And I think the closest thing that I had read to that, to Frank's points, it is the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, the habit of beginning with the end in mind. And what you do is you do this exercise with me. You can do this while you're driving, just be safe. But I want you to think, it's 5 years from now and you're going to a funeral. When you get to the funeral, you realize it's your funeral. And there are four speakers: your spouse, a business associate, a community service associate, and a close friend. To find out what you aspire to, you simply ask the question, what do you want those four people to say about you? If you do this exercise for real, and you say, what do I want my spouse to say about me? And you say, I want them to say I was loyal, I was honest, I was loving, I was passionate, I was a good father. Those are your aspirations. And they don't wear out after a day. They don't wear out after a month. They last your entire lifetime. What would you want your business partner to say? He was a truly hard worker. He truly cared about his customers. He truly cared about his employees. These are your aspirations. Begin with the end in mind. So after Frank said that on the radio show yesterday, I went back to the Seven Habits, read through that, did that exercise, and I came up with new aspirations. And I thought I knew what my end in mind was. But looking at it from a, what's going to keep me inspired, motivated, what aspirations are going to keep me motivated and inspired, you kind of phrase them differently. And words are so doggone powerful. It just, his use of the word aspire literally has changed my life. I went back, like I said, did that exercise, and I added things to what I wanted Josie to say about me when I pass away. I added things to what I want my employees to say about me when I pass away. I added things that I want my members, the students at Total Wealth Academy, to say about me if I passed away. And it's, man, it's motivating. And I hate to use that word because we're trying to stay away from it, but your aspirations motivate the daylights out of you, and it doesn't go away at the end of the day. So I suggest, if you don't have a copy of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, that you pick it up and go to the habit, begin with the end in mind, read that chapter, and then do that exercise about your own funeral. Then pick up Frank's book, Aspire, which you can find at Amazon.com. You can get it digitally as well as digitally, audio, and hardback. By the way, if you go to his website, he'll actually autograph a copy for you and mail it to you. But you combine that book with The Seven Habits, I mean, it's a 1-2 punch. And you will feel motivated and inspired by focusing on your aspirations. What do you want people to say about you when you die? And don't look at it as a negative thing. You know, death happens. So far, we haven't been able to avoid it. So it's not a negative thing. It's just part of life and death. But think about it. What do you want them to say? Do you want them to say he was lazy? He never built a second stream of income. You know, it's you got to think about things like that. Okay, we'll talk more after the break. We're going to talk a little bit about risk in the next two segments. This is the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. Is your money safe from a down market? Hi, I'm Steve Davis of Total Wealth Academy. Were you told it's normal to sometimes lose money in a down market? That's not true. Our clients make money in both the up and down market while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $50,000 or more of investable assets, you should consider passive real estate investing to protect and grow your money. Visit gettotalwealth.com and click the free sample class to learn more. That's gettotalwealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show, soon to be the Total Wealth Academy radio show. And we're going to kind of change gears and talk about risk, which for a lot of people is a dirty word. It's a four-letter word, risk. And what I would like, I'm going to tell you my goal. My goal by the end of these two segments is to help you clearly understand that one, everything is risky. There's no such thing as avoiding risk. And two, that you should embrace risk because that's where the adventure is. That's where the joy of life is. Nothing of value in this world comes without risk. And so many people will say to me, and this has actually happened to me, I've been sitting, having a cocktail with a friend, go, man, you know, he's of course complaining about his financial position, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, you should probably do like I did. Just start buying some real estate, start building some wealth for yourself and your family with real estate. As he's lighting a cigarette, he says, nah, that's just too risky for me. As he's lighting a cigarette. To me, that's almost unbelievable. Here he is taking, I know of no other risk that's higher. Obesity, I guess, is just as high. 300,000 people a year die of obesity. 300,000 people a year die of cigarette smoking. So they're about the same. Oh, I should mention this guy's obese as well. So he's taking massive risks. But in his delusional brain, real estate's risky. The way that Jim Rohn puts it, and I'm really modifying his story a lot to tell it, because I've read it once and I've listened to it three or four times, is he talks about you do have a choice. You can avoid risk. You can go crawl into a corner, cover yourself with blankets, and just sit there. Do nothing. The government will feed you. The government will take care of you. And you'd probably live to be 100 because you took no risks. The point that he's making, though, is what kind of a life would that be if you didn't take risks? It would be horrible, wouldn't it? You wouldn't want a life where you lived 100 years, huddled in a corner, covered in blankets. Somebody comes and feeds you. Somebody comes and brushes your teeth. I mean, you wouldn't want to live like that. But you get to live 100 years. Ask yourself this question. What is more important? How long you live or how well you live? Rome goes on to say, I would rather live 30 years of high adventure and excitement and passion than 100 years the way he described, huddled in a corner, covered in blankets, and taken care of by the government. And I've got to agree with him. I remember a song, I think it's Def Leppard. The beginning of the song, he says, it's better to burn out than fade away. I couldn't agree more. I want to die at high speed, not in a wheelchair waiting for death. I want a massive heart attack from doing something stupid and adventurous. I don't want to die of old age. You know, everybody, I've discussed this before, but everybody chooses how they die. You may have chosen cigarette smoking. You may have chosen obesity. You may have chosen driving drunk. You may have chosen prescription drugs. You may have chosen illegal drugs. But we all choose how we die. Me, I literally want to die of alcohol poisoning at 75. That's probably what's going to happen. So be aware of that. I know at first, when you first hear we all choose how we die, it's like, oh, no, we don't. No, we don't. Most people get very defensive at that comment. I'm not talking about people who die by accident, a car accident or hit by a bus or whatever. I'm talking about people who live their life out, generally have chosen how they're going to die. I've got a buddy who's dying of obesity right now. I mean, literally, I've lost 6 or 7 either relatives or friends in the last 3 years to obesity. He just ate himself to death. Again, some people smoke to death. I'll probably drink to death. We do choose the way we die. So we're all taking risks every single day. Just to go to the grocery store, it's a risk. You could get rear-ended by an 18-wheeler, it's over. Everything is risky. Everything. What Rome goes on to say is this, though. If you choose to hide and not take risks, there's a bill for that. There's a consequence. The consequence is poverty. Poverty. And the funny thing is that, okay, first, get the concept, everything is risky. Investing in real estate is risky. Investing in stock market is risky. Investing in gold, silver, Bitcoin is risky. But people think that doing nothing is not risky. No, it's just as risky. And there's no upside. See, when you invest in income-producing assets, there's an upside. It's got risk. Same risk as doing nothing. But there's an upside. You could win. You could achieve your financial goals. You could achieve financial freedom. You could travel the world. You could drive the Ferrari. You could, whatever it is that's important to you. But if you don't try, go back to the risk of doing nothing. The risk of doing nothing is more accurately described as a guarantee. If you do nothing, if you don't invest, the risk is more of a guarantee. You are guaranteed to fail financially. Guaranteed. It's almost, there's just no way to avoid it. As Robert Kiyosaki said, I know it's a crude comment, but I'm telling you, he didn't mean it that way. Savers are losers. They always lose. Inflation, taxes. I mean, these people that save up $1 million. You say, well, $1 million, I could live off that for a few years. We're living 18.5 years in retirement. So $1 million divided by 18 is only 55 grand a year before taxes. So let's take that down by 25%. It's about $3,000 a month. How many of you expect to lead a high quality of life in retirement on $3,000 a month? It's not going to work, is it? See, savers almost always lose. People who don't take calculated risks are almost guaranteeing failure. The risk that they are taking by not investing is the highest risk possible. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. You're listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Catastrophes happen in the U.S. and around the world on a regular basis, causing tremendous financial difficulty for those unprepared. However, some people are prepared. These are the people with a second stream of income. This month, we are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. For reservations, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show, soon to be the TotalWealthAcademy.com radio show. And we are talking about risk, but I want to answer a listener's question. This is actually a member, Crystal. She's asking if I've ever flipped a townhome and what are some cons in flipping townhomes. I've never flipped within 1 year a townhome. I've bought townhomes before, groups of 25 or 40 of them, and sold them years later. And did pretty well. They don't do as well as single family, but they do. You can do well with them. So my answer, Crystal, is no, but it could be done. She asked the next question, which is, what are the cons? The cons to me on a townhome are the HOA, the homeowners association. The HOA is the big freaking problem with townhomes. Not that there's, people like townhomes. They're fun to live in because it's like living in an apartment, but you get all the benefits of ownership. But you get to meet people, you know, and it's just fun. I love living in an apartment or a townhome because they live about the same way. The con is the HOA. So it's important if you're going to write an offer, it's important to meet two or three other owners in the same complex and discuss with them their experiences with the HOA. If they say, yeah, the HOA is really good. Don't worry about if they complain about an assessment. Everybody complains about an assessment. But sometimes there are assessments. You know, the roofs need to be replaced. The asphalt needs to be replaced. It happens. And it would happen on your personal residence, too. It's not an assessment. You just have to pay it, all of it. If after talking to two or three owners and it appears the HOA is pretty good, they don't have to be perfect because there's no perfect HOA, then you would want to reach out to the HOA itself. Try to meet one or two of the people in the HOA and then find out how they handle rehabs. See, some of these HOAs are not friendly to flippers and they don't like flippers and they'll stand in your way and do stupid stuff. I can't list any of it, but they'll try to hinder you and they may succeed and stall your rehab for 4 weeks, 2 months, something like that. That would be the risk, the con. So I would meet with them, let them know what you're about to do and if they have any problem with it. If you pitch this right, Crystal, and since you have unlimited consultations with me, we'll talk and I'll tell you what to say to the HOA, but here it is. You say, look, one of your units is in massive disrepair. I would like to come in, rehab it, and then sell it to a family and get that problem unit taken care of. Do you have any objection to that? Now, see the way I worded that? If they have any objection to that, they're just jerks, and it's a bad HOA. And you've got some little egotistical busybody who got elected and thinks they own the whole complex and acts like they own the whole complex. You just, oof, it can get nasty. So before you buy this townhome, do your research on the HOA. Talk to them. Tell them what you're about to do. And see how they react. Because if they don't want like flippers, you'll know pretty quick. And if it looks like they're going to be trouble, I would move away from the deal. If they respond in a positive way and go, yeah, oh my gosh, that unit's been a thorn in our side. We would love to see it rehabbed and sold to a nice family. Then I'd move forward with the deal. Comps should be very easy because you're just looking at the sales for that particular complex. So you should be able to find the value of the property very easily. Remember, Crystal, do not write that offer until you have a written bid for the repairs. If you're going to write the offer without a written bid for the repairs, make sure you have 5 to 7 day feasibility study or option period so that you can get your earnest money back. If you estimated the repairs are going to be 40, they turn out to be 70, you can get your earnest money back. So, and I think those are the only cons and the only warnings I have for you, Crystal. Let me see if there's any other questions. No, that's it. All right, Crystal. When you get close to meeting with the HOA, remember to call me directly and I'll give you that script before you head into the HOA. Okay, phone lines are open. If you've got a question for me about anything to do with building a second stream of income with real estate or anything we're discussing, feel free to call right now. It is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. You may also email me. It's asksteve@totalwealthacademy.com. asksteve@totalwealthacademy.com. No, this is not a question, sorry. Okay, back to my rant. And because it really, I do feel like I'm ranting about risk, because it is ludicrous to not embrace risk. You're destroying your life if you don't risk. Everything is risky. Wouldn't it be wiser to take the risk on the things you truly want, such as asking that beautiful girl out or that handsome guy out, or investing in your first passive real estate investment? It's better, isn't it? Because you have the chance of winning. If you take the risk of doing nothing, which to me, and I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue with this, that's the highest risk. Doing nothing is the highest risk. It's almost a guarantee that you're going to fail. You want to figure out exactly what you want out of life. Figure out what it takes to get there and what risks are involved. Then you educate yourself on those risks so that you mitigate as much of the risk as possible, but move forward anyway with the understanding that all things are risky. But the adventure, the excitement of life, it's all in the risk. The right risk, I admit that, but you've got to do it. Then something Frank brought up yesterday on the show, he's scared to death every time he builds a $13 million house. I was just shocked that he was willing to admit that, but that's what sold me on the guy, because it's like, you know, somebody that's got that type of confidence that can admit he's scared to death, I respect that. But he said, man, there's times I would assume he's got $4 or $5 million in the deal. Well, more than that, because the lots are $2.5 million. So you figure the house is another $1 million, $1.5 million. So 3.54. Yeah, he's probably got about $4 million in the deal. And he sells the thing for $13 million. Now, he takes risk every time he does that. He's speculating, building a house without a buyer, a $13 million house without a buyer, puts it on the market. Man, he has got guts. I don't think I could do that. I would rather line up a buyer first, then go build the house. So, but he does it. He's crazy. But the thing I loved about him is he goes, look, I'm scared to death. I do it anyway. You're going to have to adapt to that if you're going to be successful. It's not that I'm not scared every time I do a real estate deal. It's just, I am. I just do it anyway, because I realize not doing it's going to ruin my doggone life. Okay, big sales pitch. One, understand that everything is risky, everything. Two, embrace risk. It is your friend. All right, thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
been listening to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day. Hey.